living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
May the force be with you, and welcome to another episode of Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod, joined as almost always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are giving you the late sexy edition of Spoiler Movie Reviews, okay?
Yes, we are.
Karen is working through a drug-infused haze and a headache. But we're here to give you this review because we know you guys are going to wake up in the morning and want to know what the fuck.
Yeah, I am one with the force.
The force is with me.
Yep, the force is with me.
Of course, we're here to review, as you probably can tell from the jokes, Rogue One, but Spoiler Movie Reviews for people who've seen the movie, don't have a plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers, because we do spoil the movie. Yep. We talk about what we liked about the movie, what we didn't like about the movie, and then we rate it from 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. 0 being man fuck you, and 5 being a fuck you waiting for go see this shit. I guess the spoiler for this is, I mean, can you spoil this?
Everybody dies. Well, yeah. Damn, I mean, but we knew that though. It was a suicide mission for the Death Star. Shocker, they don't destroy the Death Star.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what people was expecting.
Yeah, this movie takes place after the prequels, so after Revenge of the Sith and all that stuff, but before any of the original films.
Right.
So it's like a perfect little time capsule. Some of the things they do around that are amazing. We can start with what we liked about the movie. Karen, I'll go with you first.
Oh, so much I loved about this movie. I like the main actress,
the woman who played Jen.
Yes.
Her name is Felicity Jones, and she played Jen Erso.
I like her because she was not a damsel in distress. And sometimes, you know, it's cool, but I like, they're like, look, this is war. Women are not fragile creatures. They got to be saved. Like, they can take care of themselves. And they didn't show us certain things, but it was implied that after her parents died, that basically she was a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And they demonstrated that she was a warrior without going, oh, she's a warrior. She just did shit. And you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, the movie opens with her basically getting orphaned because we see that her father is defected from the Imperial forces. He is the main like engineer in building this Death Star weapon. At some point he quits and says, I'm taking my family somewhere safe and not, I don't want to be dealing with this shit. The parallels between the Empire and the Nazis were just so much this time, like, like, I think they've nailed that with the First Order, yes, in Star Wars 7, and I think they've nailed it here.
They just come
in a way that the prequels never did for me.
Right, they just came through and swept everything, and it's one of those things where, if you watch, Rick and Morty, it's one of those things, for me, I kind of thought about Rick and Morty with, Rick always fighting against, you know, kind of the bigger system and going, hey, when these systems and these entities step in, nothing is the same. You're registering, you know, you have to constantly be followed, you know, and monitored, and you really don't have any freedoms and shit like that. And it was one of those things where it was like, you really felt them just coming through and just, hey, just slowly conquering planet after planet after planet after planet.
Yeah, I think they just nailed that. And I know we were talking about Jen at the time. I don't mean to get off of that, but they really nailed the imagery, the hierarchy, the fact that when I was a kid, and maybe it's because of special effects, but Star Wars didn't have the gravitas of the fact that they were destroying a planet.
Mm-mm.
This time you felt it. You were like, yo, these motherfuckers have built the ultimate destruction And because of maybe special effects now, it just feels so rich and real and devastating,
right,
in ways that it didn't feel devastating before, for me anyway.
Right, and you can understand why the rebels were there. You can understand, you know, why people fought back, you know, because basically they go destroy places. Well, they were actually destroying cities, but they could destroy planets. And this is kind of the beginning. And it was one of those things where you see, okay, people would want to fight back. Everybody don't want to fold and don't want to bend to their ways. Hey, I lost family. Like, almost like I'm willing to risk my life for the greater cause. And it actually showed you why people did it. Whereas before, people, it was one of those things, people, oh, let's just show up and do it. And it's like, but you didn't really go into the richness of the stories behind the, you know, what motivated them. And you understand now what kind of was the motivation to get to the point of the quote unquote original ones. And you go, okay, this makes sense, because the way that it ended, you go, perfect.
Yeah, which is sad, because you really didn't get that feeling from the prequels, in my opinion.
No.
Like, even when Revenge of the Sith ends, you don't feel like the quote unquote dark side and the Empire are in a position to start dominating the galaxy. Like, it feels like they barely escape with their lives. Like, the Emperor almost loses to Yoda, who eventually escapes. Darth Vader is created, but, you know, and it's because Anakin lost his, both his legs and his arm, and got set on fire. Like, it's just certain shit where you're just like, oh, it feels like the it's kind of a draw. Now, why the fuck, when we come back, you know, when we get to Luke's story, are we like, this is the deadliest time in the galaxy and everything is so dark? And it's because of this Death Star. You know, like now you see, when you see that these motherfuckers got a hold of the Death Star, they've used it a couple of times, all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit got real, you know?
Yeah, real, real.
And this movie goes really into the depths of the fact that they're on the precipice of war, as opposed to being embroiled in a conflict. We've never really watched a Star Wars where they weren't already in the conflict.
Right, right. Because normally you'd be like, and we're in war. Or right. You read this 20-minute thing at the beginning where, you know, it's hard to read because it's like a tall building.
Right.
Where it basically tell you the shit that we got in the movie. It was like, well, fuck it. You can actually show me in the movie now, which actually makes sense, because that's more better than watching goddamn Senate debates.
Another thing you brought it up just now. Another thing that they really got rid of that has served The Force Awakens and this movie very well, politics is now in the background as opposed to in the foreground.
Right.
And that it's still happening, but you hear them like just kind of say offhandedly, like, oh, they reported that the moon had a mining explosion and that's why it blew up, as a, you know, like the Senate, they already issued a warning to the whole Senate, as opposed to they show you Emperor Palpatine giving us rising speech, quote unquote, and everyone eating it up, and it looks so silly and stupid
and
expensive, and it's just like, yeah, and no one cares. It shouldn't take 5 to 10 minutes of space C-SPAN for us to get it.
Come,
you know,
on. And the thing about it, and it showed you the how important the Death Star really is, because you see the Death Star and the other ones, you're like, oh, okay, but because technology, the Death Star, I know it might sound silly, but it almost brought the Death Star to life, because the Death Star was there before, but it literally brought it to life. You go, oh, this motherfucker is huge.
Well, I feel you on that too. And then also I would throw in the extra bonus of, because of how, you know, the story behind how this death machine gets built and how it's, and we already know how it can be destroyed and it has this glaring weakness.
Right.
This movie puts that context in there.
Right.
Because before it was always like, well, what the fuck? This is so silly. You can just blow up a Death Star by shooting it. Like, what a dumbass thing. But then it's like, oh, okay. This is why this guy made sure that this got in here. Here's this untold story that is very crucial to the plot. It's just one right. element of the plot, but it now just gives you so much more to enrich this universe. And that was one of the things. And like I said, coming into a conflict that's not a war yet was also brilliant, because, you know, it was basically the calming down after the Clone Wars, mm-hmm. but before the, you know, wars, the Star Wars that we saw as kids. And you see where it feels like it was really a rebellion that might not have happened. It's like, if not for Rogue One, if not for this group of ragtag rebels who went to this base and got these plans and risked everything and put and got themselves killed, if not for that, there is no Star Wars. Mm-mm. So that's one of the things I really liked as well.
Yeah, and the also thing about the Death Star, it was really neat. I mean, I know it might sound silly, but they almost treated that shit like a GPS system. Like, it was like, hit that city. And like, it, so it showed you how targeted it could be. How it was like, okay, we're gonna test this. Cause, you know, with the Death Star, you just, because of technology, with the other ones, you just, okay, we just assumed that it did some bad shit.
But, well, it had cover. We'll see what happens. And I think this is kind of and maybe it could be a negative to some people, but we knew that Alderaan, and like, we knew it didn't start really destroying planets until the other movies,
right?
So they couldn't really do that. Mm-mm. I mean, they could have and then lied about it maybe, but instead what they did was they destroyed cities
right.
with these like single engine fire things, and it kind of like let you know like, oh, this has more potential than you even think. So yeah, I thought that, you know, that was cool to see the different aspects of the Death Star. Also, one of the things that was really interesting and worked for me, and I wasn't sure how they were gonna make it work, but essentially Peter Cushing, who's an actor who died in 1994, is a huge part of Rogue One as Grand Moff Tarkin, who is the guy who had the really piercing eyes and cheekbones. He was,
yeah,
he's dead. Like, he's been dead for a minute. Yeah.
Oh, cause I was like, I've seen that face somewhere before. I was like, his face looks so familiar.
And they really made his, face like pop with whatever.
Yeah.
Like, his eyes are so piercing. I mean, it was just such a intimidating performance,
right? You was,
and
like,
it's like, this guy was never there.
Wow. And it's like, you looking at him like, that motherfucker, like, he would fuck some shit up. Like, he just looked like, I am here for the cause. That's why I'm here. You know why I came, you know why I should
be. Yeah. And later when you see Princess Leia, and it's like, whatever they did technology wise to bring those moments to life and make sure that it looked real and authentic, It was wonderfully done.
Especially with Princess Leia.
Who's only in the film for 30 seconds.
But, right, yeah. But you can tell that, because I was like, that actress is old. Am I going back to 1980 something when I was a kid? Because, I mean, she looked it exactly like she did then. And I was like, it was like that just tied a bow on it. It was like, their whole purpose was to get it to her.
Right, and the darkness of the film is kind of like, you know, there too, but there's also humor and stuff that worked for me. In particular, the K2SO, the droid
robot,
who
yeah.
was reprogrammed by the rebels to work. He was a a droid from the Empire that got reprogrammed, and the comedy of I think it's Alan Tudyk as who you might know, guys, from Firefly, if you watch that series. He was the husband to that badass black woman. But yeah, he was so good. The comedy beats, all this stuff.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's a robot. So he spoke like a robot, but he also, he would say stuff like, it's a such probability that this would work, or I'm just following orders, and, you know, and he was just absolutely perfect. And
right.
he got to the point that he even, sacrifice and fought for the cause.
Well, everyone was gonna die, right. So you know, that was his programming and stuff. Here's a clip of Jen getting rescued, and then you get to hear a little bit of Kay in here.
What the hell? I don't know. Must be another pickup. I thought we had everybody.
Okay, sir.
Halleck! Leona Halleck!
You want to get out of here?
Hey! Move at me!
Congratulations, you are being rescued. Please do not resist.
Also, another thing I was gonna, I'm sorry, just get in where you fit in. We just talking now at this point.
Okay, we're not going back from, yeah, it, and for me it was a lot of different things, but I think one of my favorite things, and he wasn't in that long, but that goddamn Darth Vader, when he showed up, you felt it, because the thing about the original ones, it was like, they probably because of technology, they really couldn't emphasize how much of a fucking badass he was. But for people that have read the comics and people that have watched Clone Wars and things like that, they go into more depth about him and his storyline and things like that. A lot of stuff that was not conveyed very well in the movies. But this was one of the first times, I'm not even gonna lie, I seen Darth Vader and I was like, shit's about to get fucked up. Like, he just didn't feel like a tall box going, just breathing hard, because that's how he kind of was. And the other ones just with a deep dark voice, and he did his hand, and you know, people kind of pretend like they was choking to death. But with this one, he had bars.
Well, he's always had bars, that's not new. And honestly, even the force choke thing, that was cool in this one, they did that again. But for me, what was the difference was the action scene at the end, right. That, like everything else I've seen him do before, it was, you know, and the way that they used him in this film, where it wasn't a film about Jedi. Mm-mm. So it wasn't about him sensing of somebody in the force, it wasn't about him trying to find a Jedi to fight, it wasn't about that at all. It was just, he was just like the hammer. He was a walking death incarnate, and he's not really in the film that much. He's not used at the beginning of the film at all. You don't see him till the third act, really. He's voiced by James Earl Jones again, which is great. I mean, it just makes it so authentic.
Yes.
And when he does you know, finally get unleashed and like kills all these people on the ship, I mean, it's just one of the best scenes. I literally yelled out loud when he force slammed somebody into the ceiling.
I did, before I know it, I was like, oh shit, I was like, wait a minute, I can't, you ain't at home.
So yeah, he force slammed him into the ceiling, walked underneath and killed, like, just, I mean, it was a hallway full of people and you still went, these motherfuckers are dead.
That's exactly what I said, everybody about to die. And it was really cool because they knew something was coming, and it was a dark hallway, and his lightsaber just lit up, and he basically, you see him up underneath it, and I mean, he was doing shit like he used the force to pull everybody's guns away. I mean, he was just fucking people up, and it was to the point where if they hadn't of, like, the one of the people had like the thing to pass, and he was like, here, just take it, I know I'm gonna die. And he walked on that landing pad and they flew off. I was like, "Ooh, y'all may be glad he probably did. Y'all was probably too far for him to pull that shit back."
Yeah, it was like, for people that have read the Darth Vader comic, this is the closest I've seen to something like that. And part of me did feel like he could have force grabbed that ship.
Right.
So it was just that good. And it's also something to be said about the fact that seeing him not go against Jedi, like, it's not a honorable, like, let us step to the side and battle it out moment. It's just a you motherfuckers about to die moment.
It was like a sheep going to slaughter. It was, they stood no chance.
Right. And that's one of the things about this movie. There's no Jedi in it. There's no real force things at play for the most part. So you don't have the kind of quote unquote cop outs of, you know, and they're gonna use this trick or they're gonna do that. Like, everything is hard because it's just normal quote unquote people doing it.
Right.
Another thing that I like too was Forrest Whitaker and his blackton.
Come on, dog.
This nigga was acting so good, y'all. I wish I had a clip to play of him. I've literally looked.
Both his legs are metal.
Say what?
Both his legs were metal.
Yep, they were. And I was looking to see if I could find like a clip of him just blacked in. He's not in the movie for the whole movie. Like, he dies early, but I don't know if he talked to Sam Jackson's wig guy or what. He had this big gray fro, and he's just like completely just like he took on this voice, like he was like, the Empire and the stars. He's like, why is he talking like this?
Because so he can't. And I was here for it.
And their banners shall reign. You Shakespearean ass nigga.
And I was even here for when he died. He even took off his oxygen tank and like threw it to the side, like, bring it on. Oh, that shit was so good.
Oh man, it was so good.
It was, y'all. It was wonderful. Remember, I just started laughing. It was wonderful.
But yeah, he was just, it was just like, and when you look at the flag or whatever, it was just, so it was like he was being Idi Amin, that role, but in space. He was this crazy old delusional paranoid man, but in space. Man, he was so good. He had like space asthma and shit. Well, he had like a respirator attached to his suit. And he's just like, did you come to kill me? There isn't much of me left. And it's like, he'll take like a big ass like, like, what is happening, man? Oh man, I can't wait to see all the comedians doing impressions of him and shit, because it was just so good.
It was greatness.
Something else you like, Karen?
Yeah, I liked the blind dude.
Jet Li.
Yes. And the thing about him.
Oh, sorry. I say Jet Li. That's so racist. Jenny. Donnie Yen, sorry. Yeah, everybody.
I'm about to say, you said Jet Li.
I was sitting here like that. I know that's not Jet Li. Right. Why did I just say that? Right. Because all Asian people are alike. Because I'm racist.
No, he did.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Donnie Yen,
and the thing I like about him is that him being blind, and it was running jokes about him being blind. They was actually when they were taking people to see Forrest Whitaker. They would cover their heads up, and they covered his head up. He was like, I'm blind. Like, why are you, I can't see shit. Like, so it was just like running jokes, running gags. But one thing about him, it was wonderful to see him fight and use his thing. What, I have a question. Was he an older Jedi or old Jedi, or?
He was a protector of the temple where they get their crystals for their lightsabers. But because the Jedi Order was basically gone, you know, because Anakin killed all the younglings, that tradition is done as well. And so, they had no temple to protect, but they still protected, or I guess just like they said, Cassian said, they just sit around starting trouble. So basically, you know, the way that the Force is in this universe, people think of the Force and they just think, oh, it's the power to grab something and move it or whatever. But it's literally like a religion. You know, they have temples, they have orders, they have different interactions with it. Not everybody, not everybody that believes in it and stuff is a Jedi. Not everybody, right. You know, Jedis have midichlorians that allow them to be able to like manipulate the Force and you tap into it in ways other people can't, but that doesn't mean that you can't quote unquote use it or believe in it. True. Or have it guide you. And it's essentially things that seem like luck, you know. It might not look like skill, it might just be some lucky shit. Some people can manipulate it and some can't.
Right.
So the Force was strong throughout this whole movie as far as like this universal belief, but in general with him it seemed that he could tap into it on some level, maybe because he was blind,
right?
But he could tap into it in his fighting. The fact that he could tell she had on a necklace without seeing it, like he could sense people's auras. He could tell Cassian was about to try to kill somebody, like he just had like almost superpowers, which is a cliche for blind people in movies, but you know, it was almost like superpowers.
Right, they did a real good job of letting you see that, letting you see his, it's almost like his enhanced abilities. Mm. Like you said, he protected that temple, so, and he was around a Jedi all the time, so you know he had to learn or pick up something in order to protect it and keep people out.
Yeah.
And so I really, this nigga had a gun and he was hitting people with it and shit, and like his stick that he walked with it, at first I thought he was gonna shoot some bows like Oliver, and then I was like, oh, them ain't no bows. He actually hitting people with that shit.
Yeah, he was it was funny because, you know, it's almost like just it made no sense. His blind superpowers, it had to be the Force.
Yes.
Because it's like this nigga was just like shooting down, he shot down a TIE fighter at one point. Mm-hmm. Then the TIE fighter crashed into a tower. Like, it's just so like over the top.
Just for it.
Blind people superpowers, you know.
Yeah, and also I enjoyed his boy that was with him. It was like his right hand man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude could see, but he also, it was one of them things where
his name, I think it was Balbus, played by Wen Jiang. He was dope.
Yeah, and the thing about them, you could tell they have been doing that for a long time, and you can tell that they had, you know, was friends, and he was like, I don't think he believed in the Force as much, but you know, he was like, hey, I see what you do, I'm here for you, I'll support you. But by the end you could tell he kind of believed in it more.
Yeah, I think their dynamic was really cool. It was cute almost.
Yeah,
you know, just like, because like we said, the comedy kind of came in some odd place, because it was almost all gallows humor, since the overarching theme of this was at some point these people are gonna, well, if you know enough about Star Wars,
right,
these people are gonna go on a mission and die, like,
right.
You know, we said it on the Nerd Off a while ago. I remember going, yo, man, I don't think people realize that all these motherfuckers are going to have to die. And they delivered on that. Another thing I like was Cassian and his role. Cassian is played by Diego Luna. He's basically the second lead in this film. And listen, the thing I really liked about the portrayal of this character, they basically say, look, war is hard.
Yes, sir.
A rebellion is going, this, like, war is going to lead to some situations where you have to do some shit that might haunt you for the rest of your motherfucking life, especially a war against the Empire. You know, the fact that he had this guy who was giving him information from the ship and had to kill him in the opening scene that we see him in, he kills this dude because he's got to escape, and the guy has his arm hurt and he can't climb. And Cassian can, so he's like, well, gotta kill you,
right.
You know, the fact that he was gonna kill Jen's father at one point, Galen Erso, he was gonna kill him, even though Jen had told him, like, no, he's actually working for the rebellion, he sacrificed his whole life, we need to bring him in so he could tell everybody what's happening. And he got orders to kill him, and he's like, I'm gonna go kill him. Like, he played it conflicted. He wasn't just a good guy, he was a rogue, he was a wild card to some extent, and you just knew that it was always about his mission first. And I love when they got into the fight on the ship, where he basically told her, like, look, some of us don't get to decide when and what what is right and when we're gonna fight and when we're not gonna fight. Part of this is the fact that this is a, you know, a big ass machine, this rebellion, and hard decisions had to be made and orders had to be followed. And then she hit him back with the like, well, now you sound like a stormtrooper. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a good philosophical debate, you know?
Right. It's one of those things, you know, where he was talking to her about that and she was like, well, you can't talk your way around this one, you know, because the way they was going back and forth, it was like, hey, you talking about their final order, that's all you doing too, regardless of the outcome and who dies and lives and shit like that. And it was one of those things where you got the debates without you having a full Senate of senators trying to pass a goddamn bill.
Yeah. Shade. But let's see, anything else you want to add? It definitely looked great too,
right? The visuals were beautiful. Even when the Death Star destroyed the city, just the explosion and the way the ground would crumble, and they just showed you the power of the machine, the space scenes,
with them fighting in
space were actually done beautiful, because with the original ones, you would see like somebody in a cockpit, then they'd be like, oh, I'm hit. Or they would look like shooting stars kind of out there, versus you literally seeing individual ships moving. And they showed you how big both sides were, but they also showed you that one side was bigger than the other side.
Yeah. Taking down the Empire did feel like a monumental task, and that's right. Something that has always been prevalent throughout the entire series.
Yes.
But this one, it feels even bigger because it's a ragtag group. The Alliance, the Alliance isn't really an alliance. Like, and I'll play it. There's a pivotal scene where they're debating, like, do we go to war almost? Let me see if I can play it. And Jin has to rally everybody.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
What chance do we have? The question is, what choice? Run, hide, plead for mercy, scatter your forces. You give way to an enemy this evil with this much power, and you condemn the galaxy to an eternity of submission. The time to fight is now.
So, that was kind of a close one. Quick one, I mean. But yeah, it was just that moment though where you're just like, she's trying to convince these motherfuckers to even fight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they don't even want to fight. There's no alliance, there's no they're not together, they're not a team. And we've never seen that before in the other movies. We've seen like Han Solo argue with Leia, but we've never actually seen like a straight up, we ain't fighting.
Right, because, you know, this is the introduction to it, so everybody was like, how can we even do anything? How can we fight against this? And the thing is, she's convinced of them when she had to be convinced, because, you know, when she met the black magic man with the metal legs, you know, when he was like, so you're fighting, you know, you're fighting for a cause? And, you know, it got to a point where she told him, you know, why should I even care? She was like, you know, I don't have to look up, you know, because they're talking about the flag. He's talking about the flag.
Yeah, he's like, you let the flags reign over the galaxy. And she was just like, well, then I just won't look up. And he was like, damn, bitch, I raised you, you know.
Yeah, and he did raise her.
He was very upset. Her black daddy was upset. And yeah, you're right. They didn't even trust her. At one point, they didn't even give her a gun.
Why did she get a blaster and I don't?
What?
I know how to use it.
That's what I'm afraid of. Give it to me.
We're going to Jeddah. That's a war zone.
That's not the point of it. Where'd you get it?
I found it.
I find that answer vague and unconvincing.
Trust goes both ways.
You're letting her keep it. Would you like to know the probability of her using it against you?
It's high.
Let's get going.
It's very high.
Yes.
So, yeah, man, just... it's funny and it's good and it's dark. You know, there's a lot of death in this shit. There's a whole, like, it feels like a war. It feels like, yeah, Star Wars. Like, I think maybe until up until now, the big, most pivotal battle scenes in the series have all taken place on, like, I think Hoth is one that everybody remembers, where they tied the legs of the walkers together with the rope, and they fought in the snow. I think people remember that ice battle. But in general, you know, I feel like the visceral feeling of actual war has been few and far between in this movie, mm-hmm, these movies. Mm-hmm. Even when you look at, like, you know, the battle on the planet of, was it Endor or whatever, wherever the fucking little, they're not Wookiees. What are those
Ewoks?
Little
Ewoks?
Yeah, where the Ewoks are. Like, even on that, like, there's like a fun, exhilarating, we're flying around.
It was very bright.
On bikes and speeders and shooting in the woods. And mm-hmm, this was like, nah, this shit was like, niggas is getting moked out. This shit felt like
people, they not no Jedi, so yeah, people got fucked up.
Yeah, you can't block it with a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Like, this shit,
you can't
felt
use the force, you on,
yeah,
your own.
Yeah, this shit felt like a World War II type movie sometimes, where
it did,
you know, like, we're about to hit the beach in Normandy and just hope we can live long enough to make it to the other side, you know.
It really did, because they had times where, because of the layout of the planet, they literally looked like they was at a beach. They was like walking through like tropical shit and plants and all that stuff, and you know, a lot of the fighting scenes, it would, you really felt like, oh, they're not gonna make it. And it was like, they really, no, nobody gonna make it, y'all, nobody gonna make it.
Yeah. And there is moments where even knowing nobody's gonna make it, you feel like they might make it.
You know, I did too. I'm not trying to funny. All the way to the end, I was like, they might. I was like, they really not. And they did a lot of things, like, you know, you go through all this trouble to, they went through this trouble to get, like, a disc, to put so they can, like, beam the message out. And, you know, she go get it and was like, you need to recalibrate that to the antenna. I was like, shit, I was like, I thought it was gonna be easy. I was like, shit, they're gonna make her ass go out there.
Well, you know what's weird is with the force, with the power, when people have that, like, ace up their sleeve with the force, a lot of times you just don't feel like, you like, oh yeah, things are going wrong, this just got harder, but it's not impossible because you got the fucking force. When people don't have the force, all of a sudden you like, wait, you gotta walk all the way over there, nigga, you gonna die,
right? And they had to jump from what they had to do, this massive jump to where the computer information was, and they looked down. I was like, nigga.
Yeah, for me it was also stuff like there's a switch, they had to hit this master switch, and they see it, but there's like a field of soldiers just shooting at them, and this one black dude was like, I'll do it, and he turns around and gets shot immediately.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, just immediately just turns around and just blah down. And it's just like, that's right, y'all ain't got powers, this shit hard, y'all gonna die. Like, you know, so it was just cool, but you respect the bravery because you see how hard it is, as opposed to some of the other, you know, almost like wizard like fights and shit that we got from the Jedi. And the fact that we know for the most part a Jedi just ain't gonna be killed by a motherfucker rolling up on them with a blaster. Mm-mm. Unless they get like a complete element of surprise, get to drop on them or something. But in general, we know that they're not gonna be able to get killed that way, so it's a safety watching this film. This film is not like that. Like, this film is like, nigga, you can just get moked out because a nigga just popped around the corner too fast and you wasn't looking. So that was that element of it. Other things, because I feel like there's just so much that I liked about this. I guess you had to give props to I guess we can call him the main bad guy, but he was pretty much his name is Ben Mendelsohn, and he played Orson Krennic, and he's the guy who basically kidnapped somebody, make them make a Death Star for him, and he ends up being like Nazi middle management, because he gets his Death Star taken from him, just unfairly. I mean, honestly, he does all the work on the Death Star, gets all the takes all the chances. They're basically saying he's running a fucked up operation, because obviously his main engineer ran away. He had to go catch him, kill his wife, bring the dude back, make him work for him. Then on top of that, there's this stuff with the Death Star plans. There's the fact that a pilot goes, all this happens because a pilot escapes with a message to give to Forrest Whitaker's character. And so, yeah, all this is happening on his watch. So yes, it is fucked up. He is the problem. It is not good. And you're watching as he tries to like fix all this shit. And I love when he meets Darth Vader, and, he's in this meeting, you can see he's scared, but he's still ambitious, and he just has to know. He's like, so I'm still in charge? And Darth Vader just chokes the shit out of him. He's like, be careful you don't choke on your own ambition. And then like walks off. Like,
right. And the thing is, he's just like tall or something. He just like,
yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Oh.
And then when he's done getting choked, he smiles a little bit before they go to the next scene. Cause that's a fucking power hungry he is, and you're just like, this nigga gonna die. And the fact that he died by his own machine, mwah, beautiful, fuck him, you know what I mean? Like, he only died a few seconds before everybody else, but fuck him. Like, I'm glad he died, but he got to see the final vision was his own machine firing into the planet he was at. Let's see what else. But yeah, he was a good sniveling bad guy. Let's see, what else is it that I want to say? Yeah, and the space travel was good. They had some little nerdy Easter eggs. They had the dude the two dudes that are at the bar on Tatooine were at this they actually bumped into Jen, and it was the same like, hey, watch where you're going. And then the other dude was like, calm down, basically. And then like, oh, you motherfuckers get your hand cut off fucking with Luke. Like, like it was just little Easter eggs like that, you know, R2 and C-3PO in this.
Cute. Yeah. Yes.
You know, obviously Leia is in this. The dude who is Leia's adopted dad, you know, from the prequels, Jimmy Smits plays him. He's in here, like, just Organa or something. But it's just like little stuff, man, where if you're a big Star Wars nerd, it's like those cool little like, oh yeah, that's right, you know. And if you're not a big deal. Another thing that's dope, the diversity of ships. It's just like, and all the technology and weapons and stuff, they don't make a big deal out of it. It's just there. It's just like, oh, TIE fighters are gonna see some X-Wings. But then they have these other ships where you're just like, oh, I haven't seen that one before. Okay, this looks new. In the space battles, it's not just TIE fighters versus X-Wings, it's all kinds of ship. The Hammerhead ship, like, they fucking crash the ship into a ship to make it crash into another ship to crash into a planet. Like, I'm sorry I'm nerding out, guys, but I was just so excited about all these things, man. And the runtime is pretty perfect, man. It's like 2 hours and 13 minutes, with like 9 of those minutes being the trailer. So it was really about a 2 hour movie. And it never felt long to me.
Perfect time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, was there anything because I know there's gonna be, I'm gonna get off this podcast and I'll be like, fuck, why didn't I bring that up? But yeah, I just liked a lot of it. I liked that the cast is diverse, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, Asian people, brown people, black people, like, you know, you still have this young white woman saving the universe, but she dies. Like, she doesn't, right. You know, like, it's not one of those, like, because she, and they give her a good backstory on why she's so good at fighting and shit. So it's just, so good, man. Alright, is there anything you didn't like about the movie?
Mm-mm.
Alright, let's see. The only thing I would say, I could see people arguing they didn't like, and it is a bit dark. You probably can't take your kids to this if they're under a certain age, you know. Right. Obviously figure it out for your own kids. It's not like The Force Awakens as far as the hope and the idea that you can overcome and everyone's gonna be all right.
Yep.
And even in The Force Awakens where you have Han Solo die, you know, which, I mean, shout out to meeting people on these walkways. I don't know what's going on in this universe, but you guys have got to stop meeting on these walkways without railings. But but like, even in that, with him dying, it's not nearly as dark as what happens when everybody dies.
Mm-mm.
Like, nigga, everybody dies.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, like, pretty much everybody in the crew, like, that last mission is straight up like, we going to die. Like, you can tell when they get in and the planet basically got one door you can go in and out of and they can close the shield. I said, how the fuck they getting out of there? Oh, that's right, they probably not.
Nope, and they didn't.
So yeah, I think that's might be the only downside. And then of course all the Star Wars cliche tropes. So if you bother by the idea that stormtrooper armor is about as thin as a motherfucking paper bag, I don't know how, like, there must be massive misappropriations of funds going on within the Empire for their armor to be that fucking light and not able to protect. Like, they getting beat up by people with sticks, you know.
Yeah, they did. They, like, went down really easy.
Yeah, like, your shit don't even block guns, but, like, you have guns. Mm-mm. And you get shot with it. What are you, is that part of the galaxy where people are still using, but, like, regular bullets? Because isn't none of these, none of this armor is helping against that.
Nah, they was like, yeah, budget, we need to cut a few thousand dollars off for the suits.
Right, like, it's still all the same cliches, you know, the walkers, which seem horribly inefficient and should probably just go ahead and invest in some good tires for them, because the Alliance just started shooting them things and they Greg on the knees and just fucking destroying them things. Like, it's just like, you know, certain things are you just like, okay, I'm clearly watching a movie because some of this shit is just silly, you know. So that stuff's all still in there. Like, I get people that can't make conceits for this universe, but I feel like if you feel that way, I don't know why you still watching any of these movies.
Come on.
So I would definitely say on it's not a negative to me, but I would understand if you're not into this universe, this is not the jumping in point.
No, it's not.
Just leave it alone.
Nope.
You know, you missed the ship and that's fine. All right, I think that's it for me. I don't think there's anything else that I can say. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you. You the real MVP for
5 out of 5.
I'm about to. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was getting to that. But you the real MVP for fighting this headache and doing this with me this late at night.
Oh, no problem, baby.
Okay, so 0 to 5, what would you give it?
Oh, this is 5 out of 5.
Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5 for me, dog.
I had a ball.
So, you know, thank you guys for listening and supporting us. We appreciate it. Couldn't do this without y'all. This turned out to be a little bit longer than I thought it would be, but that's because it was that good. Until tomorrow. Wait, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll be doing a nerd off in the morning, so we'll see that. But we'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. flash like a movie.